Welcome to Parents Perspective. Darren, his mom called up the stairs, your dinner will be cold. You've got to get down here. Yeah, okay, grumbled 16-year-old Darren. He turned to his friend Sean. Well, we got to wrap it up for now, but what do you say we work on this on Saturday? That's cool. Sean grabbed his jacket. Want to keep all this stuff here? Yeah. Darren got up and several pages of drawings slid to the floor. Hey, Sean pointed to the pile. Don't trash those. No problem, smiled Darren. No one comes in here but me. Just wait till my mom sees this stuff. She'll flip. So what kept you and Sean so busy? Darren's mom asked as he slid into his place at the table. Oh, we're working on this project that's going to make us a bundle, Darren responded. T-shirts will never look the same. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about fostering teens' entrepreneurship? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. We're fortunate to have with us today two guests who can offer advice and support for students to become entrepreneurs. Patricia Alper is an entrepreneur involved with businesses she has designed, founded, and run herself. She also produced a radio show for Love or Money that aired for 2 years, offering anonymous opportunities to discuss emotion-laden issues that arise over money in families. She has two grown stepchildren. Philip McNeil has worked in finance and investment for many years. He is active with the National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship for the Greater Washington Region, where he volunteers to mentor young entrepreneur students in inner-city schools. He's the father of two sons in their 20s. Patty and Phil work together with the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, or NFTE. They offer a program called Adopt a Class, through which business people fund students' entrepreneurship experiences and mentor them along the way. Together, they themselves have been adopting classes in this way for 10 years. A number of their students have won awards for their business planning. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Patty and Phil.
We're delighted to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Would you begin by telling us about the National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. I sit on the national board as well. And I'll start by saying that NFTE, the acronym, is in approximately 20 cities in America and 15 countries worldwide. NFTE has a curriculum. It's a mini MBA. It's about a 500-page book. And it's written by the founder, a gentleman named Steve Mariotti, based out of Manhattan, New York. And the program essentially has a training program to teach teachers how to introduce the book and entrepreneurship to inner city students everywhere. It's a easy, like a mini MBA. We come into a city, we train teachers, and then the teachers take the program into their own high schools. And then within each city, there is a NFTE staff that continues to train teachers on teaching entrepreneurship.
Is this a class that happens during the school day, or is this an extra thing that kids sign up for or get chosen for after school? How does that work?
Well, this is a great combination of public schools and a private organization such as NFTE. And in fact, it's actually a class. And generally what it'll be is a class called entrepreneurship or something called a NFTE class. But it's generally a class that is taken for credit as an elective. And so counselors will find kids that would benefit from a program like this and place them in there. And in some schools, as it becomes more and more successful, the teachers actually recruit kids. In fact, in the Washington area, there's a school that had so many kids that wanted to get into it, they ended up with six classes. So it's a very popular program. And what NFTE does is teach the teachers how to conduct this entrepreneurship class and then supports them along the way. But it's at the school level.
There's one very important piece I have to add to this. Each student, when they enroll in the class, is required to develop a business plan, to present a business plan with a PowerPoint. And most often, majority of the time, the student launches their own company while they're in the program.
Unlike a lot of classes where you're learning about theory and history, this is a class about doing. And the reality is they take a lot of the skills that they've learned in other classes, so math, writing, presentation, combine it in this class and actually do something with it. And that seems to be the most effective way to teach entrepreneurship.
What kinds of follow-up have you seen with the participants? It sounds like something that would get a lot of kids very excited. And then what happens as they go through the course?
We have so many stories, and we feel like soccer parents when our students go to compete in the competitions. Phil and I have been adopting classes now since 2001, and we are very proud to say that we have approximately 15 first place winners.
Now, you haven't told about what the competition is.
The competition is where the students, they start at the high school level or middle school, within school, and then they compete in school. So if you're a student and you win in class, then you go on to the region-wides.
Is there something active that they do at the competitions?
They stand up and present their business plans before a large group of very distinguished judges, tough judges who are looking to invest. It's almost like a venture capital program, where judges ask very difficult business questions. And I will tell you, these students have to be able to talk about profit and loss, cost of goods, market strategy, mission statement. They are learning serious vocabulary, language, concepts that they're actually executing. So they learn it meaningfully. They are living it. So they can talk the talk with real sincerity.
Right. And we talk about our winners a lot, and those are always important to us. The reality is we've had hundreds of kids in our program over the 10 years, and it goes deeper than the top two or three. Kids really, you see a transformation. They learn this language. They learn how to take their intuitive ideas and then turn it into action. And that seems to be the hardest thing for them to do, is to be able to say, I've got this great idea. I just don't know how to get from A to B. And the curriculum helps them with that, and the mentoring helps them with that.
I'll tell you one little story. We work together at a school that now has six nifty classes there. This one student, and it's interesting, some students seem to naturally be inclined toward entrepreneurship and are going backwards to try to create a plan around their business idea that they're already doing. And sometimes it works the reverse. They come to the class, they get inspired, and then they want to start a business. It comes at them either way. This student was already doing a business and needed to learn the business skills to hone in and make it make financial sense. She was in the cheerleading business. She was not a cheerleader for her school. She was an interstate cheerleader, a competitive cheerleader. She didn't like the outfits that were offered through the manufacturer. And this is an eight-piece outfit. Okay, there's socks and there's underwear and there's the skirt and there's the cover-up and there's the bag. It's eight pieces. So she went to her coach and she said, I'd like to redesign these eight pieces. She contacted the manufacturer, and she redesigned them with maybe a little glitter, kind of like what you see in the ice skating outfits, mm-hmm. more cutouts. So the manufacturer designed her pattern, and she did what I'll call a turnkey. So if a coach has 25 cheerleaders on their team, he would approve the design, and she would have a markup of $200 to $300 per outfit.
Oh, my gosh.
She would order the right sizes for the 25 students and deliver all of them with the new designs at a markup. She'd go compete against New Jersey and against Atlanta, and they liked her outfits. So she started creating a business in selling to other states. So this young lady was doing serious business. She had a nice income coming from this, but we helped her hone in on what are her costs, what's her time spent, how to present this idea before a group of judges. She wrote a whole plan, a 28-page plan that projected her future in this. So it's fascinating, and she's still doing it.
And she's now where? Is she in college? Is she?
She's actually finishing high school now. There was just a film done about the Nifty program. A teaser for the film would be at www.tennifty.com. 9, the number, EIGHT.com. And this girl is highlighted, and this is the movie story, is following kids from all over the United States up to this final business plan competition. Also, this film will air on BET a series of times. So if you go to 1098.com, you'll see airings for it. So it's very exciting.
Another thing we do is a lot of times the kids will have a natural talent, something they want to do, and can't quite figure out how to take it to the next level. And I'll tell the story about Sakethia, same school the prior year. She's in this class, not really sure what she wants to do. And she has a real talent for acting and spoken word. So she's in the class and she's talking about what she wants to do, and she thinks she wants to be in the salmon business, make salmon meals and deliver it. And I said, is that really what you love? And she says, no, I really love doing spoken word. And so we talked about how she could turn that into a business. And then as she started getting closer and closer to the end of the class, Patty really got her to say, well, you need to get something on tape. You need to get something on a CD, and you need to sell it. Because really, if you're not selling something, if you're not selling a product or a service, you're not in business yet. And so she went to an open mic night and did a presentation, did several tracks of the spoken word that she does.
Kind of rap with a sound beat underneath her.
And at the end of the night, sold, was it 200?
200 copies.
200 copies.
At $10 a CD. So and, she made $2,000 in one night.
Right. Now, and before that, we had her go back and say, well, you know, what's the right price? How do you break down your cost? How do you figure out what's the, you know, are you making money at $10? And so she knew all this going into it. So, you know, she went from an artist to a businesswoman really in one night.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on student entrepreneurs.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Patty Alper and Phil McNeil about student entrepreneurs.
What happens to these participants over the long term, that is, after they actually finish taking the class and move on?
You know, there's a wide variety. Nifty has an alumni program. The students that have been the winners are more likely to be in the alumni program, though we work to have it available for everybody. If there's a class of 30 and there's two winners, the winners come through the system a little bit more. But when there are mentors like us, we develop some relationships and we hear back from our teachers, too, what has happened to kids. Many, many students, and we've had Harvard has studied the program, Darden has studied the program, Brandeis has studied the program. There's many, many outcomes. They've done the studies by doing pre- and post-tests with students in the NIFTY program and students not in the NIFTY program.
And what would they be testing?
They're testing interest in future education, interest in reading, interest in business. Also, there's one study that I thought is fascinating. It was called the locus of control. These inner city students have no concept of controlling their own destiny, that so many things happen to them in their life and they're subjected to so much that this equips them with some sensibility that I can control my own future, that I can make money. And this is another piece that I think is enormous in terms of education. That these students write a business plan. The business plan projects. What are your income projections for January, February, March, and why? And the fact that they write a plan that says, this is what I plan to do, and then they do it, lets them know that the next idea that they have, they can also plan. It gives them the confidence and the ability. That's the piece of the locus of control, that they have proven to themselves that they can project and plan and take an idea from nothing And that's the spark of entrepreneurship. That's it.
What I see is the program gives the kids tools to take something that they want to do naturally and to succeed at it. Because if a child continues to go down a road to reach a goal and keeps hitting roadblocks, they might give up. This gives them the ability to reach that goal, or at least to go along that road a long way. And as Patty said, they end up feeling a lot of control over their own destiny. Now, project out after the class, they go to college, much higher rate of college attendance than the typical high school graduate.
Can you qualify that? Much higher rate of college attendance than the typical inner city high school graduate, than the typical
That's
anywhere
correct.
USA high school graduate?
Inner city is all who we target.
So when they go off to college and whatever they do afterwards, they tend to do other entrepreneurial things, not necessarily the program or the business that they started in class. So they're using the tools and they're saying, listen, I did it once before, I can do it again. And, you know, we've seen kids then in our class go on and we see them later and they're doing something completely different. We had a kid, one of our early kids, who was not a winner, an in-class winner. He had a great business plan. In fact, got some national awards for it, but in class, not so much. The business was donuts. And so what he'd do is he'd go to...
He called himself the Donut Kid. That was the name of his business, the Donut Kid.
And they called him the Donut Kid. So what he would do is he would go to the supermarket at the end of the day and buy remnant donuts. And he'd buy them for a quarter apiece, take them home, and on the next day he'd get on the bus and he'd sell all the donuts. So what would happen is he created demand. It's something that's kind of intuitive for many people, but what he's really done is he's created a demand that didn't exist before. So now these kids, you know, the most important thing for them is sleep. So they get to sleep an extra 10 minutes because they know there's donuts on the bus. And when he misses the bus or when he's sick one day or has to travel, they go hungry. So he's created this demand. And, you know, he made good money doing it, not a fortune, but he really started seeing the concept of I can do something that creates demand. What happened afterwards, though, he took his experience in the competition, running his business, writes about it in his college essays. He ends up going to Syracuse University. He majors in business administration. He becomes an RA on the entrepreneurship floor.
What is an RA?
A residential advisor, essentially the older kid on the floor that looks after all the freshmen. And at the end of this, becomes the student union president, essentially in control of $1 million budget. And, you know, this is a kid that, you know, was the donut kid.
Oh, phenomenal story.
So they do tend to use these experiences to leapfrog other kids because they have this experience.
One other point that I would like to make that I believe is sort of critical to the learning piece that entrepreneurship gives a student and sort of the outcome, and we have lots of examples of this. They're learning a new set of language skills. They're learning business speak. And normally a student, a teen, middle school, any student from 12 to 18, their world is kids and parents. That's all they know. But now all of a sudden, they're learning how to talk about a mission statement. They're learning how to negotiate with vendors because they may buy candy or the donut. So he has to go to a supermarket and buy at a cost. So he's all of a sudden he's learning a new set of language skills. So it allows them to interact in an adult world in a whole new way. Nifty provides a place for students to sell their goods.
This is an actual like a warehouse or a
storefront? No, actually we have a gala. Sometimes office building developers will give us a lobby for a day or two. So we create environments for selling. So the students then begin to learn to have a new kind of dialogue with adults. And it's a respectful dialogue. And it's at an equal level. And all of a sudden, they're bringing something of value to the table. And they're getting paid for it. All of a sudden, there's a new interaction that's going on that's very significant. It's respectful and it's equal. My bottom line for this, and this is why I've been so heavily involved in this program for me as a donor, I really see, as Phil had mentioned, a transformation. I see students, and I'm stealing this from a woman that did her dissertation on this program. She says the students change their self-story. They change how they think about themselves.
Their inner narrative.
And I just think that that is huge. And we witness it all the time in a semester like that. We see students go from being eyes down and quiet and back of the class to their posture, their eyes shine. Even this young girl, Sakethia, he was describing, she was such an angry child and her mother was very sick and she was lashing out and teens need to fight back. 6 years later, I saw her at our premiere of our film. Shining eyes, upbeat, proud. I mean, I do see a whole transformation over and over and over. So I think this is a real answer to many woes in the world right now.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on student entrepreneurs.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Patty Alper and Phil McNeil about student entrepreneurship. In places where there is no NIFTY program, how can caring adults, including teachers, coaches, parents, nurture some of these same entrepreneurial traits in their kids?
A, there's roles for volunteers within the NIFTY program, and then the curriculum is available to be purchased on the website, so anybody can buy the book. There are various ways of volunteerism, and the NIFTY in America, we have two ways that we have engagement. We have whole NIFTY offices, and then we have something called program partners. And if somebody wanted to start a NIFTY program in a state that it isn't, they contact the NIFTY office, and they go through one round of training. Jeb Bush, when he was governor in Florida, loved the program and became a program partner and put six cities' administrators through the NIFTY training and launched in his own domain, NIFTY being taught in six cities in Florida. But he was not officially in the program. So there's different scenarios and interactions.
And for a school that might be in, you know, outside of the major cities, there's no reason why you couldn't have a club that would form around that NIFTY material. All you really need there is a mentor. This is a great opportunity for parents to get involved, because when we sit around the class and we say, how many of your parents have their own business, you'd be surprised. And in fact, in Title I schools, there's a lot of very small businesses, whether that's, you know, someone who's a painter or someone who's in the carpentry business. There's lots of people who do have their own business, and they can help as mentors in these programs. So if there's a program in, you know, in Oklahoma or something, where I grew up, this would be a natural way to do it.
The other piece is this lady who studied the mentoring piece for her dissertation noticed that when mentors come in, a lot of these students cannot envision life outside of their own four walls. They don't see possibilities. And a book is more theoretical. But when you have visiting people that come in and describe their struggle, that's what the students want to hear. What happens if you make this promise and you can't fulfill it? How did you get started? How many obstacles were there for you to get up and running? They ask really good questions. And then they hear what we have been through. And Phil and I are both business people. And many of the mentors, we ask people, friends, to come in who are in business and share their experiences. And I urge all businesses and parents with some business experience to go in, because you become a role model. We've asked for students to write letters at the end of a year of mentoring. So we know sort of anecdotally. I have probably 1,000 letters from students and what they have taken from our coming into the classroom. And you wouldn't know unless you asked them to write this, but it's meaningful and significant more than you would ever guess.
Well, unfortunately, we have to close this meaningful and significant conversation. But before we do, Patty and Phil, what resources would you suggest for listeners who want to look into some of these issues further?
Certainly to go to the NIFTY website, which would be www.NFEntrepreneurship.com. The phone number at New York, the headquarters, is 212-232-3333. And we're in most of major cities in America. All across Chicago, Dallas, Miami, Boston, New York, San Francisco, LA. So we are available and around. Go to the website. And certainly I would look into the book, the curriculums that are available.
Is that on the website?
That's on the website, yes.
And of course, watching the movie, you know, a lot of what NIFTY does and a lot of what we do is about inspiration. And I think if you see this movie, you'll really be inspired.
This was a very inspiring conversation for the two of us, and we're sure for all our listeners. So Patty Alper and Phil McNeil, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about entrepreneurship for high schoolers.
Thanks very much.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 427 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the Joseph and Anna Smith Foundation. Our sound engineer is Elizabeth Buckle. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.